but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the
the Lord, church. I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. Boy, am I thankful. Without it, we would be in, we'd still be doing goats and bulls and all kinds of sacrifices, and that's if we were to follow after Judeo-Christian values. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful for a better covenant that we have. You can be seated this evening, and if you're a guest of ours, it's so great to have you. I know we've got some rough weather outside, and we've had some folks call and say they're not for sure about the weather. It's not very often that in December, a few weeks before Christmas, that you have 65-degree weather, thunderstorms, and 60-mile-an-hour winds. But, for every day it's above freezing, and it's just one less day of freezing cold weather, right? So I'm thankful. Thankful. So great to see Brother Willie and Sister Victoria here this evening. And I was talking with them before church. They're going to be actually have been approved to go on a missions trip. They're going to be coming up here in a few weeks, I believe. 3 weeks, maybe. I think you remember. And so congratulations to them on that. And we'll be praying for them. But if you're a guest of ours, so great to have you here. If you're online, so great to have you. We have connection cards. Would like to get connected with you. And you can fill that out here and turn that into our usher or a greeter, or you can take and you can do that online as well. And we have some giving options. And there's an offering box out in the kiosk. It's a clear plexiglass box. You can give there. You can mail it in, or you can go to our website, kind of follow the prompts on the website and various ways that you can give there. And this Sunday coming up is a very special Sunday here at Calvary Gospel Church. We're having our annual yearly Christmas program. It's going to be a little different this year, but I'm excited about our children's ministry. Pastor Peter Sandin oversees our children's ministries, our family ministries, and they have put together a program. It's going to be a little bit different than anything we've ever done, and I'm excited about that. So you want to make sure you're here for that. And just a reminder, some schedule changes coming up because of the Christmas holiday and the New Year's holiday. We're going to have one service this Sunday, and it'll be at 10 a.m. So if you come at 11 a.m., your kids will miss it, and it will be almost over with. So you make sure you're here. If you're not for sure, you can check with the details out in the vestibule. There's signs all over the building for reminders. But also on Sunday, when you come into the sanctuary, they're going to have little handouts, little handbags that you're going to want to be able to get one of those for each adult. And for each child also when you come in. So make sure Sunday morning when you come in that you get those materials, because you're going to need those for the service. All right. So that'll be this Sunday. And then Christmas Eve service is going to be on the 24th. It'll be at 5 p.m. And then Sunday, December 26th, we've made a schedule change. We started doing a little inventory, and a lot of folks are going to be gone still. And we're having our teachers, a lot of our teaching staff. So we're going to have a 10 a.m. service on the 26th only. So we'll have two services back-to-back that will be on at just 10 a.m. services. So make sure you're aware of that. So I think actually there's a week in between there, isn't there? Or am I the 19th? And then, yeah, the next one. So we'll have two services that will start at 10 a.m. That'll be the 19th and the 26th. And then Wednesday the 29th, the Wednesday between Christmas and New Year's, there'll be no midweek service. So with that, if we could all stand. And I don't know if you have paid a lot of attention the last week to some of the devastating storms that have ripped across the southern portion of our country, and I think the death toll is now, it's exceeded 100, and it's still a number of people that are missing and such, and it's just unbelievable devastation in some of these towns in Kentucky and Illinois, and I just think that tonight we need to take and pray for these families, pray for these cities. I can't imagine what it would be like living in a community and having a storm come through of that magnitude and how it just, it just was amazing, just unbelievable at the devastation. And people are trying to rebuild their lives, trying to find family, all of these terrible things and such. And I just want us to pray for them tonight and continue to pray for them. Sometimes it's easy to just say, well, we prayed for them at church, but you know, this is something that we need to just continue to pray for. Our nation is in desperate need. It's in desperate need of a real revival. And sometimes you wonder, sometimes things like this happen and it drives people. And so let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. I thank you for this opportunity to gather here with my brothers and sisters to worship you and to praise you this evening. Lord, unfortunately, across this country, there's so many people. Lord, the last week, they've lost their homes. They've lost their businesses. They've lost their hospitals, their schools, their churches. Lord, they've lost family members. Everything is gone, Lord. And I pray, God, for all of these people, Lord, and all of the churches, all of our brothers and sisters that are affected in these communities, Lord, that your hand would be upon them, Lord, as they try to put back together their lives. I just can't imagine what it would be like, Lord, to have to face something like this. But, Lord, I pray, dear God, that your hand would be upon these communities, the leaders in these communities and the workers, the rescue workers and the families. Lord, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to send a comfort, a peace. Lord, I pray, God, that you would open up the resources that are needed in times like this. Lord, I thank you once again for the opportunity to be here tonight to worship with my brothers and my sisters. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. We're going to sing a few more worship songs, and then Sister Linda Brown is going to be speaking for us tonight. God bless you.
How sweet to hold a new uncertain days, because he lived. Oh, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives. Yes, I know he holds the future, and life is worth living just because he lives. And then one day we'll all cross that river and fight life's final war with death. And then when death gives way, glory, yet I'll know Jesus reigns. Oh, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. And because He lives, all fear. Thank you.
heavenly. One more time to the Lord. Yes, oh Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh God, there is something about that name. Jesus, we lift you up. We exalt you. We bless you, oh God. We call upon that great name right now. Jesus, you are the center of everything that we do. And tonight, God, we lift you up. We glorify you. We magnify you. We will exalt you. Jesus, I love you. I love you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. And if you would be seated, I just want to give God the glory. My heart has been so overwhelmed, but I'm so thankful that I can run to the rock. The rock. The rock. Jesus is the rock. The songs that we sang tonight, they were so in line with what the Lord has given me tonight. I believe with all my heart that what God gave me is for this hour. And God has a word for us tonight. My husband and I often talk about Brother Powell being our favorite singer of all the artists that are out there. He is one of our favorite because he sings from his heart. His heart is what he's putting out there. We love all of our singers in our church, but there's just something about his voice that when he sings. And that song, I can remember in the last hours of my mother-in-law's life, we would sit at her bedside and we would sing that song, Jesus, Jesus. And tears would just stream down her face as the presence of the Lord just came into that room and she would experience his presence. But tonight, the Lord has given me a word. And you know, many times I wrestle. This is the first time in years that I did not wrestle with the word. I knew it. I heard it. It was so clear. And then the Lord confirmed it. Many times he'll give it to me, and then I go back and I have four or five messages. And Brother Phil gave me wise advice many years ago. He said, just don't try to tie them all in together. Just pick one. Just pick one, because it just doesn't work. And he's so right. But I can assure you that this one is from the Lord. And I'm going to be transparent with you, because really I don't know what else we can be. We need to be with each other. It's how we help and we grow and we develop. I just want to pray. Lord, I plead your blood right now. I pray, God, that you would anoint my lips, that you'd anoint my mind, that, God, you would help me to not say anything that you don't want me to say, and that, God, I would only speak what you have laid upon my heart, and I would speak it the way that you have laid it. I pray, God, that I would speak your word under your unction, the anointing, for I know, God, it is the anointing that breaks the yokes. And I know, God, that it is your word that will not come back void, not my word, not my thoughts, not my ideas, but your word. And tonight, God, I pray that you would prepare our hearts to hear and to receive the word that you have for us tonight, in Jesus' name. The last, the last six months, our clinic has really undergone a lot of loss, a lot of change, a lot of frustration, a lot of transition. And there have been good days and there have been bad days. And just Monday, I was talking with one of our doctors, and him and I have talked many times about the Word of God, and him and I will share different thoughts. And anyway, on Monday night, things sort of came to a head, just several things that were happening with different people. And I'm also involved in a Partners in Prayer that I've done for about 6 years every week. And just so many needs, people with cancer, people with people that are coding and dying, and family members and loved ones, and the loss, and then the tornadoes. And there was just so much devastation. And as him and I were kind of going through some of the things that were even happening in our clinic, somebody had made a comment to one of our other nurses that there seemed to be a dark cloud over us. And maybe we need to get, and they said it half-heartedly, but they said, maybe we need to get the priest in here and let him do that little thing where he shakes his little sense, you know? We had him do that once when we got our new unit and they remodeled. They had him come in and he went around doing his thing and sprinkling. I don't know what he was sprinkling, but he was sprinkling it. And that's fine. I prayed with, I can pray. It was an opportunity that we really got to pray. And a few years ago, that doctor I was telling you about, he had come to me and he said, what do you think if we could get, during our huddles, if we could get prayer going? If we could have devotions and just take a few minutes just to encourage people. I said, that'd be an awesome idea. Can you do it? He said, I don't know, but I'm going to see. It didn't happen. I don't know if maybe there was some opposition. But I reminded him of that on Monday night. And he said, you know, Linda, we do need it. He said, we have hope, but we're lacking faith. We don't have faith. And I said, yeah. And you know, in the Bible, it says, when Jesus comes again, will he find faith? Will he find faith? And so I pondered all of these things, got up early, did my prayer group at 6 o'clock on Tuesday morning. And so many needs once again. And I don't usually bring my prayer request to that group. I mean, I do if I need to, but a lot of times I pray at home on my own. There's just so many needs and so many people on the prayer call that is asking for prayer. But that morning, I really felt like I needed to pray before I went into work that morning. And so they did. They prayed for me. And one of the ministers that were on the phone, he started singing this song. I never heard this song. Brother Dan did. I asked him if he'd sing an a cappella for us, but he said no. But he started to sing parts of that song. And then he said, the Lord, reinforcements are coming. And that resounded with my spirit. And I said, reinforcements are coming. And when I went into work that day, in my mind, I'm thinking, reinforcements are coming. Lord, you are telling us something. Reinforcements are coming. And so I went into work. I hadn't even clocked in yet. And one of my coworkers walked into my office. And she looks at me and she goes, he passed away. I said, I'm so sorry. Monday night, we had talked about her cousin who was on life support, came off life support. They put a trach on him. And he was in his 40s. And he was talking to her. They were having ice pops together. They were talking on the phone. And then he, Saturday, started doing worse. And when she walked in and she said he died, she was in a room with a patient and she got that text. My heart broke. I just held her. I didn't know what to say. I said, I'm so sorry. And I just held her and held her, and she cried and she cried. And this was yesterday. And then I told her, you know, whatever we can do, if you need to go home, if you need to walk away, if you need to take a moment, if you want to stay here, if it's easier, whatever you feel you need to do. But Linda, we're so short. I said, you know what? We're short, but this isn't going to change your situation. You just lost somebody you love. You're hurting. You're in pain. You got to take care of you. Fortunately, she was able to go home. But it was a few minutes later, I had to take care of something urgent. I'm on the phone with a pharmacist. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting at my desk, and there's like this explosion. And I'm like, what in the world just happened? And the other nurse, you know, she's sitting there, and we said, what in the world happened? And I told the pharmacist, I got to go. And we went down the hall, and I expected to see all the smoke and all these people running. And instead, everybody's kind of walking calmly now at this point towards our waiting room. And I said, what in the world happened? And they said, oh, somebody just drove through the wall. I said, what? Are you kidding? Sure enough, right where our receptionist sits, she sits here, the wall is here, that car came right on in, glass everywhere, the walls cracked, everything. We all just kind of stood there. And the next thing we, you know, of course we ran outside, and the doctor's taking care of the person, and we all ran outside to make sure the person was okay. Thank the Lord she was. He was. They were. And got that person taken care of. I got to be careful. Got the person taken care of. And we're all just kind of looking at it, and they told me, you know, call the clinical manager. They weren't in that particular day. They were at another location. And anyway, I had the honor of telling him what happened, and he's like, you're kidding me, right? I'm like, I'm not kidding you. I sent him pictures. And so anyway, they wanted us all to stay outside. We completely evacuated the building. We got everybody out. Everybody was outside, the integrity of the building. They wanted to make sure it was safe. And so they had everybody come out. We had the chief of police, the fire chief, everybody came out. The inspector came out. And they finally, after quite a while, they deemed that it was safe to go back in. But while I was waiting, I was in the car. And I called my husband first. And then I texted Jessica, and I said, we need prayer. And then I texted a friend. And as soon as she got my text, she called me immediately. And the first thing she did was pray. And I felt the peace of God just wash over me. And then I started to cry, and I said, I don't know what to do. I want to be a light. I want to help. I want to have the words. I want to know what to say. There's so many people hurting. So many people. And she simply said, Linda, just be present. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to have the words. Just let your light shine and love them. That gave me such a peace that I didn't have to come up with the words, and I didn't have to say anything. And so when I went back in there, I allowed God's presence and his peace just to be with me. I had the opportunity to share with one of the other nurses about prayer and that morning, what we had gone and talked about on our prayer group, and that we were praying. And she thanked me. She was so thankful. She is a believer, and I don't know everything. She's new. She's wonderful. We love her. But as we talked, we had that liberty to talk about God and to text, to talk about prayer, the need for prayer, to bring God to where we were at. And through this whole thing, I'm thinking, God, what is it you're trying to tell us? What is it you want to say to your church? And so I got home that night, and I started to do some research on that song. I want to know, where did the song come from, and what are the words? And I'm just going to share with you what I found. During the American Civil War, the army of W.T. Sherman was stationed at Atlanta, Georgia. And on the 5th of October, 1864, during the course of the night, their enemy has gone round their flank. They realized the enemy was causing havoc behind them, burning up houses and killing people, and they turned back, trying to chase and catch up with the enemy. Sound familiar? Tornadoes, COVID, heart attacks, sickness, Sounds like our world, doesn't it? The 1,500 men guarding the post under the control of General Cox, October 27th, 1828 through August 4th, that's who he was, August 4th of 1900, was a statesman. He was a lawyer. He was a Union Army general during the American Civil War. He was a Republican politician from Ohio. He was a liberal Republican Party founder, educator, author, and recognized microbiologist. He was determined to fight till the last man. They started fighting, and the enemy was killing them and pushing them back just as they were about to surrender to the enemy. One of the officers looked up and saw a white flag waving on the hill far away. They responded and spread the message, "Hold the fort. I am coming, W.T. Sherman." A loud noise went up from the fort, and they said to one another, "Keep fighting, keep going. General Sherman is about to arrive." They were energized by the simple message of the small white flag saying, "Hold the fort, hold the fort." They fought. General Cox, he lost his life, and his assistant was wounded. But these men kept on, even though they lost over half of their number. About 3 hours after they saw the signal, the army of the general, of General Sherman, arrived, and they chased the enemy away. This story was told in 1870, and that is where Philip Bliss got the inspiration to write the hymn, "Hold the Fort." And I tried to get where we could hear the song, but I asked Jessica if she could put the words up. "Oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing. Victory is nigh. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus, signal still. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. See the mighty host advancing, Satan leading on. Mighty ones around us falling, courage almost gone. See the glorious banner waving, hear the trumpet blow. In our leader's name we triumph over every foe. Fierce and long the battle rages, but our help is near. Onward comes our great commander. Cheer, cheer, my comrades, cheer. Cheer for Jesus. Thank him right now for his goodness, for his mercy. Jesus, you are so worthy. You are so worthy. Lord, I don't care about the chaos that is happening in my world. Well, Lord, I do care, but I care more about you. And Jesus, I love you. I will lift up my voice. I will cheer. I will shout for you because, Lord, you are coming. This world is not coming after me. This world is not even caring about me, but you do. And Jesus, I will cheer you on. Let's fast forward this 157 years to Tuesday, December 14th, 2021. And it all started on Monday afternoon when someone said there was a black cloud. People recovering from debilitating illnesses, probable cancer, one with a broken back, another facing both kidney and pancreas transplant. These are people in my immediate life. A loved one who was coding, and yet another who came to my office whose family member passed away. My heart was broken. How do I minister to so many needs? What do I do? Tuesday morning, partners in prayer. The song, "Reinforcements Are Coming." We prayed. God moved. My heart was overwhelmed. But you see, the Lord moved us out of there. We evacuated. There was time to pray, to bring Jesus into the situation. Because you see, Jesus cannot enter the situation if we don't bring him in through prayer. It is prayer that brings the hand of God into active aid into any situation. If we don't pray, who will? Who will? We are working with people that don't know how to pray. They sprinkle little incense. They call in for a man who cannot die for them, a man who did not forgive them of their sins, a man who doesn't even have the power to heal them, but he does. And we bring Jesus in through prayer. And so as we began to pray, the Lord began to speak to my heart. Revelations 2:25 says, "But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. It is not something we are searching for. It is something he has given to us already." I began to do some research, and I began to look online, and I was amazed to find some different teaching and instruction. And some of what I'm going to share from you, I'm not going to take credit for it, but there's six things that I am going to point out that I did find in a lesson, and I thought they were so helpful for my life. And as the Lord gave me what we have in this word, he has given, we are searching for it, is something that he has already given to us. Stop searching. You have it. You have it. I have it. We have it. Jesus gave us everything that we need. It is something that we have in our possession, which the enemy wants to take from us. But we have to hold fast. Hold the fort. Hold on with everything you've got. I told Abby tonight in that in pre-service prayer, I said, "You're the generation. Hold on. It's in your hands. It's in your hands." This handkerchief, I carry it. Kevin pulled it out tonight for me. Milton Wilson, his preacher grandfather, he held the fort for his family. He prayed many a days. My children heard that man pray. I don't know if he had the Holy Ghost, but I do know that they felt his prayers. That man, he prayed, he held the fort, and then he passed it to us. He passed it actually to his parent, his children, and then to us, and then to our children, who now pass it to Jackie, that great grandbaby sitting back there. That's why I hold the fort. I hold the fort for Sam, for Kelly, for Jackie. I hold the fort for each and every one of you. I hold the fort for my coworkers. We got to hold the fort. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. As the Lord began to speak to me, he reminded me that the world is beckoning us. It's calling. He's trying to distract you. But Jesus is saying, "Hold on, people. I'm coming. Reinforcements are coming. Just you hold on. Don't you give up yet. Reinforcements are coming. This is the time to look up. Our redemption draweth nigh. And whether Jesus comes tomorrow or he comes in 100 years, I'm holding on. Because as long as the Lord tarries, there is a generation that is coming behind me. And it's for that generation I must hold on." As I began researching that song, and I came across many articles, which I just shared with you, but holding the fort. And some of the things that I came across was an article, I forget who wrote it, but basically he was saying, what is it that you have already that you must hold fast to? Ask yourself that question. What is it that I already have that I need to fight for, that I need to contend for? What do you have? For starters, our salvation. We gotta fight for that. Every one of us has to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. You cannot do it for me. My husband, as much as he'd like to, cannot do it for me. I can only do it for me. And if my husband loses out, I'm not gonna lose out, because I am going to hold fast. This is the most precious thing that we have, is our salvation. Philippians 2 and 12 says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Hold on to your faith. Every man has been given a measure of faith." Satan would like to sift that faith. He'd like to steal it from you. Because if he can steal it, what are you going to believe? You're going to be turned by every wind and doctrine. What's going to keep you in place? And Jesus said, when he comes back to the earth, will he find faith? We are encouraged again and again in the scriptures to live by faith, and to your faith, add works. It is those works that we see in our lives that we will know if we have faith. those things that come across, what happened to our clinic yesterday. Where was my faith? Where was my faith? Did it prevent the accident? No. Did it prevent the person from dying? No. But my confidence is that God is going to heal them and stay with them, that God is going to comfort them and use me to be a comfort to those who will allow me to comfort them. God has already given us that. Jesus died for their sins as well as mine. God has no second plan. Acts 2:38 is the only plan. Acts 2:38 still has the power to save. Matthew 17 and 20 says, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing. Nothing. If I could do it, I wouldn't need God. But you see, we serve a supernatural God and he moves in supernatural ways. He never intended for you or I to do the acts. He intended for us to serve him, to love him, to worship him, and he takes care of everything else. What else is important to us right now? Our life. Did you know that God has a reason and a purpose for every life? Even that unborn child? God has a purpose for every life, but the enemy seeks to terminate many before the appointed time. The devil will do all that he can to dispatch many to the great beyond, and to the power of suggestion is what he uses. God did not plan this for you. He did not plan it. He planned for you to have purpose in life and not to die to Satan's tactics. You were never created for that. You were created for his kingdom, and so were our children and our children's children. But we got to hold the fort. Genesis 6 and 3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. In another place in the Bible, it says 70 by reason of strength can be increased to 80. So really, 70 is what we're promised. But you know, God has blessed many with 90, 100. And if God, and I just told my husband tonight, if the Lord calls me home, he calls me home. I've made my election and my calling sure. But as long as there's health in my body, I'm going to serve him and I'm going to proclaim the good news to everyone that I can. That's my purpose. That's why I'm here. This is what I'm doing. I'm going to quit worrying about all the other stuff. You know, sometimes, and forgive me if I say this wrong, and I'm going to try to say it as best I can, but when I hear people come to me and they say, I want to do something great for God, I'm like, well, what does great look like? What is great to you? I thought about today as I'm in my kitchen and I'm preparing a meal for my daughter who is sick and her family, as I was baking some cookies, as I was praying for those that are sick. I thought about, great, that is spiritual. It is spiritual to do something for your brother, for your sister. It is spiritual to minister to the people around you. It is spiritual, mamas, for you to take care of your family and your children. It is spiritual, men, for you to go out when you're out there working and you're providing for your families. This is spiritual. This is part of God's plan. So it's important that we hold fast because our families are that fourth thing. Our families. It's important that we set that example and that we push our way through. I remember as a young Christian when I struggled and I doubted and I wondered. And I thought, boy, if I walked away, what would happen to my kids? Yeah, the thought crossed my mind. I wondered. But then I realized I had children that were watching me. They were following me. And if I walked away then, where would Nicole be? Where would Jessica be? Where would Rebecca, Andrew, Rachel? We have a purpose and we have a reason. We've got to hold fast for our families. Psalm 127, 3 through 5 says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Our health, Our health is important to us. This includes our spiritual and our physical health. When you're healthy, you'll be able to face life and get the best out of it. So we got to put ourselves into being healthy. Take care of this body that God gave us. I take care of this body because I want it to go far. I want to do more for God. I want to be strong. Proverbs 18:14 says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear?" As long as you are strong physically and spiritually, whatever comes your way in life, you will overcome. Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And lastly, God's word to you. The plans God has for you are of good and not evil, to give you a hope and to bring you an expected end. Draw on the resources of heaven because God has spoken a word to you. God has given each of us a word. He has also given us the word, his word. If you're ever wondering what God has to say, open up your Bible. Don't ever say that God is silent if you've not read your Bible. In here, this word will not come back void. What I say, what I do, of my own volition, it's going to be void. It may do some good for the moment, but this has eternal value. This is eternal. My job is my job, but that's not my reality. I learned that in 2009. My reality is eternity. It's the things that are eternal. God has plans for each and every one of us. Isaiah 14:27 says, "For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it?" God has a purpose for you. Nobody's going to stop it. Nobody is going to stop the will of God in your life because God is in control. God is still on the throne. And it is his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? All you have to do is just go through the process. It's a process. Life is a process. But I assure you, in 40 years of serving God, he has never failed us yet. He has not. There are times that my faith has wavered. There are times that I have been overwhelmed. But when I go to the rock, oh, my soul rejoices. My soul cries out. My soul sings. The world could come crashing down around me. But when I'm with Jesus, even in a corner, oh, there's nothing that can stop his presence. Why do we have to hold the fort? Some of you might think, why do I have to hold it? Because 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion. He's walking around seeking whom he may devour." Philippians 2:12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Embrace self-distrust with serious caution, tenderness of conscience." One thing that I say now, you know, I've always struggled with self-confidence. It's always just been a part, probably my upbringing, some of the things that I went through as a child and young adult. But my self-confidence has always lacked, even to this day. My daughter will have conversations, and I said, "Don't you ever struggle with that?" She's like, "No, I don't." But I do, and she knows I do. But you see, the one thing I've learned over time through trial, through situations, is to have Christ confidence. If I'm confident in Jesus, I don't gotta worry. I can go to work and do my job without being afraid. I've studied, I've applied, I've done what I'm supposed to, I've gained the knowledge that I need, so now, Jesus, I turn it to you. Help me remember every day there's nothing that I can't do that you won't help me do, even when someone drives through the building of our building. Who would have thought? I still, every time I hear a loud noise, I just jump. But the Lord is still in control. So how do we hold the fort? We keep our relationship intact with God. We keep our hearts right. We pray. We study the word. We come to church. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but even more so as the day approaches. Why? Because the adversary is out there trying to seek us. He wants to take away what God has given us, our purpose, our life, our heart. He wants us to be destroyed. But Jesus has a plan and he has a purpose. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Isaiah 55:10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Luke 18:8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Yes, he will. Even if there's one, just as those troops, even though they were dying, even though they were losing their people, when they saw the flag and they got the word that that general was coming, there were reinforcements on the way. Those people had hope to keep fighting. If you are fighting a battle today, keep fighting. Keep pushing. Don't give in now. Jesus is coming. Hold the fort. Hold the fort. If you're looking in the enemy's eyes, get your eyes off of him and look up. Look up. The enemy, he came to seek, to steal, and to destroy. Jesus came to resurrect, to give life, to give hope, to give peace. If you don't have it today, look up. Get your eyes off of the problem and look to the problem solver. I am not speaking to you from someone who never has problems. I assure you, I have lots of them. I have lots of them. You just don't know about them. I don't tell you. I don't share them. Maybe I should. I don't know. But I don't. I tell him because he can do something. He can do something about my problems. He can solve the issues. Get your eyes on Jesus. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. What does he mean? He's going to take care of you. Yeah, a tornado comes and blows your house down, but you still have breath. You still have purpose. Okay, church, let's get together. Let's start building us a house. Build my sister a house. She lost her house. Let's build it. My brother, he needs a meal. Feed him. My sister, she needs a coat. Give her a coat. That's us. We are the hands. We are the feet. We are the ones that God sends to meet the need. Those people, when the hurricane that happened in Texas, the devastation, the loss, what happened? They rebuilt it. They're Texans. They do that. They're strong. They pull up their boots. They get moving. Our pastor, that's how they work. That's how they operate. And you know, as much as I'm devastated about the tornadoes, I'm praying for them, but I'm praying for wisdom, and I'm praying for resources, and I'm praying for finances. Because there are people out there that can do it. Lord, lay it on their heart. Get them in the scene. Start building that house. If we can get churches built in a day, surely we can build houses. Surely somebody out there has a burden. 1 Thessalonians 4:10. And as I close, I'm going to ask our musicians to come. 1 Thessalonians 4:10-18. And indeed, ye do it toward all brethren, which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly towards them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, for as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, that's you, that's me, and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. My mother-in-law, she's going up before I do. God's going to raise her up. She might be sleeping now, but God is going to raise her up. We're going to see her again. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive, that's you and me, and remain. Are we going to be found remaining? Are we going to hold on? Are we going to hold the fort? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, this is the part. This is the part. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. If you need comfort today, it's right here. Comfort each other. Go to each other. Remind each other. The Lord is coming. We shall be caught up to meet him. You have a loved one that's gone on before you? Trust the Lord. Be comforted. Know that one day we're going to see them. We're going to see them again. If you want, study the entire chapter, because it talks about how we are to conduct ourselves as Christians. God desires that we keep the faith. Hold the fort. Hold the fort. Wave that banner high. Tie it to your doorpost. Tie it to your mailbox. Tie whatever you can find. Take that white flag and remind you and your family every day, Jesus is coming. Help is on the way. Send in reinforcements, Lord. We need those reinforcements. Jesus, we need them. Our world needs them. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And if you would stand. And I don't know what's happening in everybody's life, but I'm going to say a blanket prayer over everybody and all the needs. But if you have a need, I'm going to ask you to come forward. Maybe you don't have a need. Maybe someone you know does. Or maybe you just want to feel the presence of God and just come before him and open up your heart. And while you're opening your heart, open your mouth. Talk to him. You see, the enemy can't read your mind. But when you start to praise Jesus, when you start to tell God how good he is and how much you love him, when you open your mouth, the enemy has to flee. He has to leave because he can't stand in the presence of God. And the praise of the people, God inhabits our praise. So tonight, just let go and let God to have his way and hold the fort. Reinforcements are coming. Oh, God, Lord, I don't know what the needs are tonight, but you do. And Jesus, I pray that as you go into each situation, each circumstance, Lord, you are the God of the faithful. You are the God of it all. And Jesus, though the world might make us think that everything is out of control, you are in total control. You are not out of control, God. You are on the throne and you are here in our midst. And God, you have given your people everything that we need. And tonight, God, as we reach out, as we raise our hands, as we hold the fort, I pray, God, as those reinforcements come, that Lord, every imp, every demon, every spirit, everything that might be plaguing homes, any sickness, God, financial issues, health issues, mental issues. God, I push back the thoughts of suicide. I plead the blood of Jesus, and I pray, God, that you have given us a sound mind. You have given us power, and Lord, it is through that power, that anointing, that an unction, oh God, that strongholds are broken. And tonight, God, let the strongholds fall off. Let the chains fall off. Let those who have lived in fear and condemnation, God, let that spirit to fall off of them. Let the peace of God that passes all understanding to cover them right now. Jesus, we were created in your likeness. We were created in your image. We are your children. We are loved by you. It is not your will that we would live in captivity. captivity, but rather, God, you came to set us free. And Jesus, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would lift the bonds, that you would set the captive free. Jesus, you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the great I am. Jesus, we will exalt you. We will hold the fort until you come. You will find a people that is faithful to you. We will stand on firm ground, for you have given us a firm foundation. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God, I praise your name. I thank you, God. I pray for families, God. The opposition against families tonight, God. Lord, push back the powers of darkness. Satan, take your hands off of them. They belong to Jesus. Oh, God, pull them back into your arms. Wrap your arms around them. Be their peace, be their comfort, be their strength, oh God. Lord, strengthen your people. Oh God, I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh yes, God, renew us, rebuild us. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God.
the Lord again, church. Thank you so very much, Sister Linda Brown, for such a great message tonight. Sometimes my brain just gets stuck. I'm sorry. Thank you so very much. I tell you, God is so good. God is so good. Just a reminder of our schedule again for this weekend. Remember, 10 o'clock service. And don't forget to get your packet when you come in. As adults, you have a packet, and then your children also have a packet. So make sure you get that when you come in, because you're going to need that throughout the service, okay? So it's not like snacks or anything. Hopefully you'll be able to take and make it for an hour or so without having to have snacks. But don't forget to get that. And the ushers will be at the back, and they'll have all that for you. So this Sunday, our kids are, not really our kids program, but our Christmas program. And I want to thank Brother Peter and the Sunday school staff for putting this all together. So thank you again, Sister Linda. God bless you. Thank you so very much for coming. Remember to continue to pray for all of the needs here, but also for all of the families and the cities and the towns that are struggling, digging out of this tornado wreckage. Continue to pray. God bless you. We will see you back here on Sunday. Thank you.